Hello, welcome to this segment of Open House here at Community Media. I'm Raymond Galker.
And I'm Laura Weibel.
Yes, Laura has agreed to spend some time with me and help me with this special edition of this Open House. We have our special guest here, Cheyenne. Cheyenne has brought some of her friends with her. You know, Cheyenne is from the Adams County SPCA. And that's what our topic is here this evening, or today. And we have with us Lori.
Yep, Lori Wetzel.
Lori Wetzel and Kayla.
Kayla Mayers.
Kayla Mayers. Mm-hmm. Mayers.
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 Yep.
And these lovely ladies over here are veterinarian technicians.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, Lori, can you tell us what a veterinarian technician is?
Basically, we're nurses. So we draw blood, we prep the animals for anesthesia, give vaccinations, anything that a human nurse would do for humans, we do for the animals.
Yep.
Yep.
Kayla, can any, you have a lot of volunteers.
We do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can anyone draw blood? And do the things that you all do?
So you do, there is some schooling involved in becoming a veterinary technician. Now, depending on how much school you wanna do, it varies. So I actually went through a program where it was a 21 month kind of on hand draw, like, oh, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Hands-on, that's mm-hmm. right. Hands-on schooling. Some other people go to like a four-year college to get their bachelor's degree. So it just varies on how much schooling you want to do and what works best with your lifestyle.
So this is the decision that you made mm-hmm. a long time ago, that this was the occupation you wanted.
Yeah.
It wasn't that, hey, you know, I just want to volunteer and help at an SPCA, and then you move through the volunteering to higher responsibilities and roles.
Yep, that's actually something I went to school for.
Cool. That's nice. And tell us about your friend here.
Cheyenne is adoptable. She's at the Adams County SPCA. She does need to go to a home without cats. She was super interested in the cat. She's a German short-haired pointer, so they are a bird dog. So she's, you know, I don't think she'd make a great bird dog. I think she just wants to be a couch potato. But, yep, she's up for adoption. She was a surrender. We do take owner surrenders from Adams County, and we also take all strays from Adams County.
She's a lover.
She is. She's a really nice dog.
She's a lover. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think a question that we were discussing earlier, is there an expiration date, if you will, of how long the animals are allowed to stay? What does that look like?
Nope, they have a home there until they're adopted.
Okay.
I've been there 15 years. We've had some long-time residents. Mm-hmm. But with social media now, we get the animals out there. Our adoption rates are really good. You know, social media is not great for all things, but it really helps with getting it out there. I know.
Cheyenne.
And then we try to write like a story particular to the pet that we're trying to promote to, just so that people kind of get a glimpse at their personality.
Have you ever been on their Facebook?
I have not, no.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they highlight the pets that are up for adoption. And like Kayla said, there's a story about them. And I can tell that that's been successful for you.
Oh, yeah.
But there's still some animals that you still need to work harder to get them adopted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the working breeds, the big breeds, the dogs that were in a home and not socialized that need some work. So yeah, but we have a lot of good volunteers that help us with that too.
Have you ever had someone bring a pet back, an animal back?
Yes, so we actually, a part of our contract is if for any reason it doesn't work out in the new home, we made that commitment to take care of that pet. So they actually sign our contract, which says if for any reason, we will always take them back.
Okay.
Because we want to make sure that they're going to good homes, mm-hmm. regardless of what the situation was in the old/new home.
Can you tell us a little bit about, you said that Cheyenne is a surrender dog.
Yeah, she was used for breeding.
Okay.
So apparently she wasn't a great mom. So they retired her. We got her up to date on her vaccines, spayed her, microchipped, wormed, flea treated, all that stuff, and got her up to adoption.
So you're ready to go to a new home and get all kinds of loving, huh, Cheyenne?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you've only had her 2 weeks, and already she's given hugs?
Oh, yeah.
Look how huggable you are.
So she's microchipped.
Yes.
Now, this is a process that you offer year-round?
Yes.
This is one of the services?
The public can walk in anytime we're open to get their pet microchipped.
Better to make an appointment?
Not necessarily. We're there. Someone's at the front desk 9 to 3, Monday through Saturday.
So being microchipped isn't like a big process?
No, it's an injection just like a vaccine.
Yep, it goes right between the shoulder blades here. Yep.
And what's the benefit of having a pet microchipped?
So if your pet's microchipped, a lot of people tend to think that it's like a GPS tracker, but we're not there technologically yet. But it's there that in case, like, we know how dogs and cats are, they sometimes like to go out for a run on the town. And okay. The microchip makes it easier, so if that pet is found, hopefully somebody would be willing to take it to the SPCA where they would take it in as a stray, or even vet hospitals would be able to scan it. And that's just a universal microchip scanner, which reads out the number that's connected to the chip. And then the number is linked to the owner's information. So once that chip is scanned, it can be entered into the national database, and then the owner's information will pop up, and it'll be there for whoever needs it. And then hopefully we can get them reunited as soon as possible.
It's a great system, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. It's life-changing.
Is it life-changing?
Yes.
You know, like I said, we scanned a stray cat came in today. It was microchipped, and it was going back home within an hour.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Cool. Go ahead.
So I remember back in the day, some friends of mine, somehow somebody's bird got loose, and they ended up with this random bird. They didn't know whose bird it was. Can people, like, bring you birds? How does that work?
We'll take any stray domesticated animal from Adams County, including livestock. We've gotten reptiles, all kinds of. Some birds will have bands, mm-hmm. like pigeons. And some domesticated birds will have bands that you can put. Sometimes it's not as easy as a microchip to track those bands, but we have stray parakeets and...
So do you have a type of, like, a lost and found? I'm not sure how I would ask that. Like, to help people, like, if they lost, it, like, the bird or somebody's cat or dog got away.
Yeah, we put it on our Facebook page.
Okay.
It's dogs will show up on our stray page mm-hmm. on our website. And then there's a Facebook page called Find Toby in PA uh-huh. that people will post lost or found animals.
Okay.
So yeah. We try and correspond with them, too, just to make sure all of our... all of our ducks are in a row.
Find Toby.
Yes.
You know, where's Waldo?
Yeah, find Toby.
Find Toby. I love that. That's cool. So you offer year-round services. You offer the microchip. You offer a program called Trap, Neuter, and Return.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you were ready for me to say release?
Yes. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, you were waiting for it. So can you explain what your program is where it's trap, neuter, and return?
We do trap, neuter, return. It's $45. We'll spay and neuter, give rabies shot, distemper shot, and then we take the tip off the left ear because that's the universal sign for free-roaming cats that they're fixed.
So this is cats?
Cats only, mm-hmm. yes. If you're a resident of Adams County and you're having trouble financially with your colony of free-roaming cats, we will help financially with getting them spayed and neutered. And they do have to go back to your... A lot of these cats aren't highly adoptable. Most of them are feral. They do have to come in a trap, not a carrier. But I think we're this last year we've got a grant. I think we've made a huge difference in Adams County with the number of free roaming cats.
So you have two situations here. You have free roaming feral cats, and you have domesticated house cats. And the trap, neuter, and return is for both. So the domesticated and the feral.
It's mostly for the free roaming outdoor cats. We do offer low cost spay and neuter for like indoor domesticated cats, but because when the left ear is tipped, it actually shows neighbors and just anybody who might be around this cat, it shows that that cat's been fixed and shows that it's been vaccinated for at least rabies, so it cannot be considered like a rabies vector or something like that. So we do offer surgery for all cats, but it's just usually the outdoor free roaming cats are considered for the trap, neuter, return.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the snipping of the ear is like the sign that they're in the club.
Yeah.
Like a bird band.
Yes, the universal sign that they've been fixed.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. And the SPCA has made a big difference in Adams County because there's areas where there's a large amount of feral cats that hang around together.
Yes, definitely.
And in the past, I remember hearing a story of getting a grant to go up in one of the upper areas, and the amount of cats that was you know, processed was considerable.
Yeah, we started in Bendersville years ago, and we actually had to use a horse trailer. We got so many cats to take.
Oh, wow.
Then we took them to another organization that does low-cost spay neuter for feral cats.
But yeah. That was back then. And now you've taken over that process. Okay. And Bendersville does not have the problem they used to have now with feral cats.
We hope not. We haven't heard anything, so that's no news is good news.
Are there ever any kittens that are giveaways? I know some farms. I recently had somebody looking for a kitten.
We actually, we're getting loaded. It's kitten season. We actually do a couple times through the year offer free cat and kitten adoptions with an approved application.
Sure.
Just because we get loaded. We have two mamas now with, what, 9, 10 babies?
Yeah.
We have a litter of three kittens on their own, and then some adults. But so when we get full, we do offer free adoptions to get them into a good home.
Is that something to just keep an eye out for on your webpage? Is it like a calendar date, like every circular?
No, we usually post it on our Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems like more people use social media anymore than websites.
Sure, right.
So you have the low-cost spay and neuter. Spay is what?
So spaying is for females and neutering is for males.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
I didn't know what spay was.
That's okay.
I'm glad I do now. Okay. You offer services for all stray domesticated animals. Okay. And you do the microchipping. You've helped the county out tremendously with feral cats. And you do programs, educational programs for the community often.
Yep.
What do some of those look like?
We have a board member who will actually go around to different schools and talk to the younger kids about like how to safely approach a dog that you see walking out on the street, which helps a lot because a lot of people don't know how to approach a dog, especially a dog that might be fearful. Like most people will just assume that a dog is nice, but she actually goes over the steps that you should take to make a dog feel comfortable when approaching it.
Can you Do you know what that is?
It depends on the dog, but in most cases, a lot of people will reach out their hand.
Like I did?
Yes. Yep. So that's good, but you actually want to reach it out so they will sniff the back of your hand.
Okay.
Sometimes the front of the hand is a little bit too intimidating.
Okay.
And then some dogs also like it if you're on their level, because sometimes if you're taller, they're a little bit more inclined to feel scared because you're kind of hovering over top of them. But nice, slow, gentle introduction instead of just being like, oh, hi, dog, is most likely going to be your best case scenario, especially when it's a strange dog that you're not familiar with.
Do you ever advise young children, teenagers, and such that if there is a stray dog, don't be so anxious to go near the dog?
We don't run into too many instances where we're talking to children or teenagers, but we actually did have a dog come in as a stray right before we came in here. But some dogs, like the one that we just had, the girls were a little bit younger, and she called and she said that she found this stray dog, and I said, okay, do you have it with you? Did you just see it running somewhere? And she's like, no, it's in my car. It hopped right in. But in other cases, like, I want to make sure that people are comfortable. So I'll ask, like, okay, are you okay to bring it into the shelter here? In other cases, the dog warden might have to go out.
Is there room for more volunteers?
We try to do a volunteer orientation, like, at least once a month. So we can always find something for them to do. You know, we do a lot of cleaning, but also just socializing the animals. We have limited staff, so we do as much as we can. We bring dogs into our offices when we can, but there's always room for
people.
Is
it an even ratio? Does one outnumber more cats or more dogs? Or
this time of year, it'll be more cats.
More cats, okay. Hi. Are you showing everyone your love? Yes. When you were talking, I couldn't help but remember a story from when my brother was little. Some neighbors of ours, their cat had kittens, and he wanted to bend down and see the kittens, and the mom did not like that. So unfortunately, he was attacked by the cat, and I don't think the cat had its shots. Yeah, so I like how you were talking about finding ways to know, have they been examined and fixed and things like that. So.
Mm-hmm. But cats are different.
Yes,
animals.
They are indeed.
Yeah, we have two mama cats now with little babies. The first couple days there, you could tell. They were like, but now we can pick up the babies and move them and clean. Uh-huh. And but yeah, you never want to approach, if you don't feel comfortable, never out.
Yeah.
Just approach a cat or a dog. And.
Mm-hmm. Lori, what is the strangest situation you've been in with animals?
Great question.
Oh my gosh. We could probably write a book.
We're going to have another episode.
We had, at one time, I guess the most, one time we had like 200 farm birds in our barn. Farm birds. Chickens, ducks.
Oh, okay.
Exotic geese, partridges, quail, you name it, we had it.
From the same place?
Yes. So that was interesting. One time we had a blind horse that had two seeing eye goats. She would whinny and rub on them, and they would lead her around. And,
so Disney comes to you for material.
Yes. I know. It seems like every day we're like, we've seen it all. And then
the next day
we're like, uh-huh.
Yeah. I have a strange but random question. Again, I have another story that recently happened to my mom having to do with the SPCA. Capuchin monkeys.
Yes.
Are they illegal pets in Pennsylvania?
You have to have a permit.
Okay.
But any primate is not a good idea to have as a pet.
Okay.
Any animal that belongs in the wild is probably not a good idea. Primates will reach maturity like around 5 and start to show aggression.
Well, if I may tell a funny story, I received a message at work one day.
Yes.
She said, you will not believe what happened to me today. The SPCA showed up at my house asking if, was that you? It was you.
It was me and our manager, yes.
I'm so happy to meet you. I'm like, this cannot be real. Because somebody stole her identity with the address. And you guys came to check it out just to make sure. She goes, well, I can assure you, well, you were there. She sent me the screenshot of the phone. I can assure you we're not selling capuchin monkeys. So I made a joke. I said, you better put a sign out front. No monkey business here.
I think that was just scary because
sure.
They had her address. And
thank you. That is scary.
And if they get people to send them money
absolutely.
And then show up to pick up their primate and it's not there.
Right. Well, she did her due diligence. I don't know if you got the follow-up about that.
No.
And she made a phone call. Mm. Who is this? You have my address. She said authorities, not to specify police, mm-hmm. but, you know, the authorities were just at my house. Take my address down. And surprisingly, he did not hang up. Okay, yes, I sorry. So
oh, good.
I hope he took the address down. But thank you for doing that. It made me think of Friends when they had
the monkey.
You know, the monkey. Yeah. I thought, can you have? I don't know anybody that has a pet monkey. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many breeds of dogs, cats, rabbits, guinea pigs. Like, you really don't need a monkey.
Right.
Yeah, that's what friends are for.
Yeah.
So, the SPCA, you're there, you're helping the domesticated animals, but you're also there to protect the animals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's sort of like what we've been talking about with the strange experiences with animals. So. Does it happen often that you are referred to a situation where someone might be treating animals cruelly?
Yes. And now that those, it's kind of hard because Pennsylvania laws are so, I would say, lenient. Because a few years ago, it was normal for everybody to have an outside dog. Well, now they have to at least have shelter or water or food, which still some people can get away with, but that doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways for people to read that law and say, okay, I'll just do the bare minimum. But to others, that looks like cruelty because my dog lives inside. Why does your dog have to live outside? But technically, under like jurisdiction of the law, they're not doing anything wrong. It's just kind of personal preference. So that's why I think it's a little bit hard. Now, obviously, there's negligent cases. But with the judicial system, it's really hard for judges to get on board with an animal cruelty case, just because the animal doesn't really have a say in what happened. So you need a lot of proof, and you need a lot of medical records, and that's the hardest part, is getting people actually convicted and actually getting it to court.
So I grew up, and my grandfather always had a dog on a chain mm-hmm. with a doghouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that was common. And in fact, having a dog inside was considered, you know, not clean.
Exactly. Yeah.
But now in society, it's like the dog's inside.
Yeah.
The dog's at the table. The dog's, you know, in the back seat. The dog's, you don't go anywhere unless the dog wants to go there.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But, and the other thing that came to mind was, you know, you look at people who hoard animals, mm-hmm. you know, is that something that you see?
We've had hoarding cases over the years, like mm-hmm. the farm birds, and we've gotten cases with a lot of dogs, trying to think, some with a lot of reptiles and that kind of thing. We've definitely had our fair share over the years. We've goats, you name it, mm-hmm. I think we've had it.
And sometimes you don't know that the animal is treated cruelly until you actually see physically mm-hmm. the distress.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess there's not a way to screen that when you're handing out applications for adoption.
We do. We look at properties. We make sure people own. If they rent, we call the landlord. Any animal in the house needs to be vaccinated and fixed. Mm-hmm. And there can't be any humane complaints in the county they live in. So we do, and we keep notes of any humane cases we've worked over the years. We do have a do not adopt to list.
Okay, that's yes. good to know.
Yeah.
So we're pretty careful where they go.
We also get outreach from other counties too, like just the local ones like York and Cumberland and stuff like that. They'll actually send us emails just in case people come from their county looking to adopt from us and just say, hey, by the way, so then we'll go ahead and put that into our system so then we know if for any reason they try to adopt, then it'll just be right there and we'll say, no, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, we have you as a do not adopt to from this county. So we kind of, we work together even outside of the county too, just to make sure that these animals are going to the right home.
Like on 101 Dalmatians when he sends out the call.
Yeah.
Dog.
Their communication when he sends out the howl or something like that. Yeah.
There's a name for that. You have any animals, Laura?
Yes, I have two dogs and I have a cockatiel.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Very good.
So I did adopt a sheep from the SPCA a couple years ago.
Okay. You know?
So that's good. Hey, thanks for coming in. I mean, we could go on and on.
No.
And I want to hear all these stories.
And
I know
Cheyenne.
You want to love us up, huh? Dogger. And Cheyenne is?
She's available for adoption.
Okay.
She's up for adoption. And you get animals like Cheyenne often. So,
yes.
You know, you can get onto your Facebook. You can get onto your website.
Mm-hmm.
And we're giving that information right now. It's magic right there. You could see
okay.
it. Okay. You know?
I was just going to interject one final question. Is it hard to let them go? Like, do you get attached to certain ones and you're like,
gosh.
Oh, my
God. Yes, sometimes.
I applaud you for that. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah. It's hard. We had these two chihuahuas, Bella and Emma. It was actually a mother-daughter combo. And they were there, 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And we were shocked because, these little chihuahuas were adorable. Oh. They were so sweet and so snuggly. But a lot of people didn't want to take on adopting two dogs.
Yeah.
So that was understandable. But we always tell them, we're going to find the right one. Just sometimes it takes a little bit longer. And they did last week. They found a home with an awesome couple. And oh my gosh, were we sad. Because they were like our little office buddies and we would just greet them every morning and we would tuck them in good night. So it was difficult to let them know. But it does make it easier knowing that they're going to be spending the night in a home
mm-hmm.
with people that already love them so much.
Does anyone follow up with you after adoption?
Oh,
name and pictures and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
And you share that on your Facebook.
We do. We share it on our Facebook page.
Yep.
But, you know, Snuggles, I like how she explained the dog with all the snuggles.
Uh-huh.
It was a great dog. It loved to snuggle.
Yep.
Yeah. So, well, Lori?
Yes.
You've been with the SPCA for how long?
15 years.
15 years. That's a long time.
It's a long time.
A long time.
And you love what you do?
I do.
You? Mm-hmm. And Kayla, you've been?
I've been there. This March was actually 3 years for me.
3 years?
Yep, but it feels like longer.
What did you do prior?
So I was actually a veterinary technician at a general practice in Seven Valleys before that. So it was more like your general office, your vet office. But I definitely like shelter medicine a lot better. Not that it wasn't rewarding before, but it just feels a little bit more rewarding now, knowing that I'm helping pets that don't have homes.
They're not coming and going real quick.
Yeah, exactly.
You get to form some type of relationship.
Yep.
I did think of another question. If someone's looking for a specialty dog, I want to adopt for emotional support, do you do any type of specific training to get them ready for that?
No, we don't adopt with the intention of the animal having a job.
Mm-hmm.
If you need a service dog,
uh-huh.
There are organizations that will pull dogs from shelters. dog tags, for instance, trains dogs for veterans. They've pulled from us before. But we don't specifically adopt an animal for emotional support. Mm-hmm. I mean, we try to, I think all animals offer emotional support.
I agree.
But, you know, we try because a lot of times, you know, we don't know our dogs' backgrounds. Most of the dogs we have are strays mm-hmm. that aren't reclaimed. So.
And are you connected with any organizations that would offer training classes once they adopt?
We have a couple trainers in our area. There's one in York County that we recommend. So there are dogs that leave the shelter that do need some work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, we'll get people on board to follow through with training after they adopt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good to know.
So our time is up. You know,
thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for coming.
We're looking forward to having you back, but I think we're trying to grow a show with the SPCA.
Okay.
So that'd be awesome. At this time, the viewers have been watching us. They've been watching Cheyenne. They've been wishing they'd been here and snuggled. You know? But you have a chance to have closing remarks. So. Lori, is there something you would like to say?
Say it to that camera?
Yes, this camera right here.
I think Cheyenne just wants to thank everybody for watching and just remind you to adopt your next pet. There's always a shelter animal looking for a home.
I think Kayla covered it.
Kayla covered it.
I'm like looking at you like, hello.
Like, I just can't think.
Well, we want to thank you for all coming in and what the SPCA does for the county, because, you know, you deal with more than just domesticated animals. You protect the numbers of, mm-hmm. you know, wild animals and things like that. And, you know, we wish you all the luck. And for all of you who have been watching, thanks for spending time with Laura and myself and Cheyenne really liked it. I mean, I don't think she's stopped hugging.
Nope.
You know, so she is definitely a lover. If Cheyenne could be, you know, at your house tonight, you know, if not Cheyenne has some more buddies that loves to love. So thanks for watching. If you would like to support the SPCA, you can come a volunteer. You can donate money. They're always looking for money. It costs to do the services that you provide. And the information is on their website, on their Facebook. So feel free to go there. And until we have a chance to bring another group of wonderful people from our community that are doing outstanding and wonderful things, because they're doing it from their heart. Mm-hmm. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Until we have another group coming in, stay safe, be kind, and help your neighbor.